What does King Charles II, Mark Zuckerberg, and Diddy have in common? They're all Illuminati confirmed. And today we're going to talk about it from the latest developments in the Diddy case that may prove that he's a federal informant, just like Kanye West told us, to a Jay Dyer tip on King Charles's perennial philosophy, to Mark Zuckerberg's strange messaging and symbolism on a t-shirt. It's a TMZ Illuminati confirmed. Welcome back to Occult Symbolism and Pop Culture. I'm your host, Isaac Weishaupt. Today, we're going to do a classic format of show. I call it the TMZ Illuminati Confirm. It's a stupid name. But hey, you know what? I also have my name, Isaac Weishaupt, also a stupid name. But hey, we just roll with the punches here, folks. Now, I'm not sure where to start. Well, let's start out with some special announcements first. If you haven't heard yet, I'm sure you have, but if you haven't heard, June 22nd, I'll be in Las Vegas. I'm doing a presentation about Eyes Wide Shut, and it's beautiful. It's, some say, the most beautiful. That's a terrible Trump. Sorry, it's early in the morning here. I could do a better Trump than that. I'm going to be there with Jay Dyer and Jamie Hanshaw. And you're going to love it, and you're going to have a meet and greet, and I want you to join me. June 22nd, links in the show notes, or just go to eventbrite.com, search for Jay Dyer, Isaac Weishaupt, whatever, and get your ticket and get down there so we can meet and greet. Also, shout out to Skinny Fresh, man. I've been thinking about my dog. He's going through some stuff, so shout out Skinny Fresh. Prayers up for Skinny Fresh. Now, Diddy. Let's talk about Diddy. Oh, and also, tinfoil hat. I made my 15th appearance. Don't listen to what Mark said on the show. Mark says 14th. No, no, no. I didn't want to stop him. He was on a roll. He was on a stream of consciousness. We talked about it was a wild show. It was definitely a wild show. I went on there to talk about Late Night with the Devil. And Mark went on there to talk about some 777 symbolism and Terrence Howard, and it got real weird real quick, but it's a good show. Anyways, my 15th appearance on Tinfoil Hat, and I'm not sure when you're hearing this episode, and I'm not sure when they're posting the interview, but look out for that, okay? Shout out to Sam Tripoli and the Swarm and all that stuff. Okay, housekeeping done. Moving on. Diddy. Back around December, if you recall, he released a statement. He's like, oh, I'm sitting back. I'm watching everybody assassinate my character. He said, enough is enough. For the last couple of weeks, I sat silently, watched people try to assassinate my character, destroy my reputation and my legacy. Sickening allegations have been made against me by individuals looking for a quick payday. Let me be absolutely clear. I did not do any of the awful things being alleged. I will fight for my name, my family, and for the truth. Because at the time Cassie dropped a lawsuit, you know, I did many Diddy episodes. You already know the deal. Cassie Ventura, the artist, she dropped a lawsuit against Diddy saying he did all these awful things, you know? And look, I'm back on YouTube and they're already harassing me, so I got to use coded language here like a total tool. I hate doing it, but she's accusing him of the SA word. And, you know, I'm calling it audible. I don't even care. YouTube sucks. Sexual assault and human trafficking is what she's accusing him of, okay? Now, then on, okay, that happened back in December, all right? Then 6 days ago, as of this recording, May 17th, a video drops of Diddy. I shouldn't laugh. I'm not laughing. Of Diddy punching and kicking and dragging and beating the crap out of Cassie in a hotel. And it was from March 5th, 2016. Basically proving her claims that he's this awful person. And I just think it's priceless that he dropped that whole thing in December of like, oh, people looking for a quick payday. No, bro, you're a monster, dude. You're out of here. You're done. But we'll see. We'll see if he's out of here and if he's done. Because, well, hang on a second. Let me finish the talk. So the hotel surveillance footage, I noticed it was at 11:11, no less, which is, you know, a time in synchronicity, in synchro mysticism. People pay attention to 11/11. And Dona, he pointed out that there were actually three sixes in the shot of like the, I don't know, like the floor that they were on or the hotel rooms or the elevators or whatever. There's three sixes in the shot as well. So that video releases and everybody watches it. Everyone's seen the video. And then a couple days later, Sunday, May 19th, he issues a public apology video. You know, now that he's completely proven guilty, now he's got a total change of heart. You know what I mean? He says, I take full responsibility for my actions in the video. I was disgusted when I did it. I'm disgusted now. And he's just such a gross human being. You know what I mean? He's always, and what makes him gross, on top of all the awful things he's doing to people, women, men, all these, we don't know how far it goes. He's constantly evoking the name of God and love and like all this stuff as if he's this great person. And it's just such a smokescreen, right? And even he's such an awful person that Uncle Luke from Two Live Crew, one of my favorite groups of all time, made a comment on about how, look, this is why I don't hang out with Diddy and these weirdos are into this stuff, right? Because, you know, Uncle Luke, he was, Two Live Crew, it's a very explicitly sexual rap group. And they got, I was around back in the day when they were banned. All my friends had it on like a, they had like the Two Live Crew dubbed cassette tape. Like that's how I heard it. Because it was like real naughty, right? You weren't supposed to listen to this. And it just drew more attention to it. But I mean, they were just talking about sex, right? Well, meanwhile, Diddy's actually doing horrific things. You know what I mean? Like at least Two Live Crew was just like, they were just into sex. There's nothing wrong with that. But Diddy, like, he's into sex, which is fine, but he's into monster style, let's drug and sexually assault you kind of sex, allegedly. Now, this video went around. People said, well, why didn't Diddy get arrested? They already raided his homes and they didn't arrest him. Now there's this video and they didn't arrest him. What's going on? Well, the Los Angeles district attorney got way out in front of this real quick. They said, we're aware the video that's been circulating online allegedly depicting Sean Combs assaulting a young woman in Los Angeles. We find the images extremely disturbing and difficult to watch. If the conduct depicted occurred in 2016, unfortunately, we would be unable to charge as the conduct would have occurred beyond the timeline where a crime of assault can be prosecuted. Now, I don't know the law. I don't know. I mean, that's got to be true, right? I mean, the district attorney said that. But this all seems very strange. Candace Owens, she said it out loud on the old Twitter X. She said, he's not in jail because he's a Fed/CIA asset. Kanye tried to tell everyone. And that's exactly what we talked about on the, February bonus episode from the supporters when we talked about Diddy. And I'm thinking about maybe in July, I've got this multi-hour deep dive into Diddy. I don't know if people want more of it or not. If you're on the Patreon, leave a comment and let me know if this is what you want. But I'm thinking it's like a three-hour show, maybe. And some of it's repeated information that we've done over the, because we did a Diddy bonus show in December, then again in like February or March. And I've got tons more notes. I don't know if it's worth a full timeline breakdown or not, but if you're on the Patreon, you have the capability to comment, and I read all the comments. So, yeah, I don't respond to every comment, but I do read them all. I assure you of that. I assure you of that. So leave a comment. Let me know. Let's see here. Also, funny enough, something else strange, speaking of YouTube, right before all this stuff happened, right? I had a video on my YouTube, because what I do is, if you don't know, if you're not familiar with my process, I make the podcast, the video and the audio, I release them to my supporter feeds because they get early access. Then a couple days later, the free feed gets the audio, And then a month later, YouTube will get the video. Why? Because YouTube harasses me and they suck. And I don't want to reward people for going to YouTube to find the show. But if organically people on YouTube find the show, like, that's great. That adds discoverability, right? So it's not really for my people because it shows up so late. Right? So a lot of people are probably wondering, like, dude, why do you stall on the videos? Because YouTube harasses me. They screw you over. They constantly drop copyright claims on, like, every video of some, and some bozo out there puts ads on it, makes money off of my content. It's insane. The YouTube algorithm is insane. But anyway, I had a video. It was just it was a commercial video for my Diddy show for the supporter feed. So it was like the free feed, like, hey, this is what you're missing out on video about Diddy. And YouTube literally, like, the day before this Cassie video released, blocked that video. And they sent me a thing. They're like, oh, you do, you know, this is a copyright infringement. Or no, I'm sorry, not copyright. This is a community violation for conspiracy theory talk. Because apparently a term that you can't say on the tube. You know, it's P-I-Z-Z-A, you know the rest, about the emails. I said that term. I didn't even go into it, you know, but they have like AI that looks over the videos. But I just found it interesting that right before all this broke is when they blocked that video from December. Oh, that's weird. And then speaking of Patreon, Eduardo sent me a message asking to look into Kendrick Lamar's Meet the Grams for Secret Society talk, which he talks about. And in the lyrics, Kendrick Lamar talks about Drake having secret handshakes. And Drake mentions in his music, it's a way for him to really know who his friends are, kind of like a Masonic technique. I had a friend in the military back in 2001. And he, before I was into any of this conspiracy stuff, I didn't even really know much about the Masons. He was telling me about how he was a Freemason. And he's like, well, we know each other from secret handshakes. I go, oh, really? And then he was like, let me show you. And we were all drunk, you know. Some dude walking by, hey, man, let me shake your hand. And he shook his hand. He's like, see, I know he's not a Freemason. And in hindsight, I wish I could have got the secrets out of him. I'm sure that's just like a weird, if you look it up, you see there's a couple things they do. Like sometimes they do what they call the lion's paw grip. Sometimes they, like, I don't know, they tickle their palms. I don't know. Hey, you know what? That's your own thing, Masons. You do what you want. But anyways, Drake apparently employs a similar technique. And Kendrick Lamar said, I've been in this industry 12 years. I'm going to tell y'all one little secret. It's some weird shit going on. And some of these artists be here to police it. They be streamlining victims all inside of their home and calling them tender. Then leak videos of themselves to further push their agendas. And what he's referring to here is like the Epstein operation with the blackmail and the videotapes that Drake has throughout his house. Or I'm sorry, Diddy has throughout his house. Apparently, I don't know, Drake's running a similar operation? I'm not sure. So it's all very strange. But yeah, there's a lot going on with Diddy. We're certainly not done with Diddy. That looks like a 50 Cent documentary that's supposed to come out. It got picked up by Netflix. Good look on Netflix there. You know, like I said, Cassie broke her silence. She said domestic violence is the real issue here. Another model accused Diddy of drugging and sexually assaulting her. Another supposed Simpsons prediction happened, but apparently it's fake. And that's one of the things I'm worried about with the future of AI and deep fakes and conspiracy theories. Like, it's the problem is with social media, this incentive to get something to go viral. So they post stuff that's not real, and you think, why would you waste your time lying and making fake videos? Well, I mean, it's how the game works sometimes for these people. Got no integrity, right? Also, Chaka Khan, her daughter publicly was saying how Diddy was abusive to her mother, Chaka Khan, and how Diddy had his security beat up her brother once. Now recall, because we talked about this in the past, I think this is in Sacrifice Magic Behind the Mic, my book on hip-hop conspiracies from 2014. Chaka Khan was on Piers Morgan a long time ago, and she talked about going to these Clive Davis pre-Grammys parties and how the night Whitney died, they continued to party the next night. And she was disgusted by it because she's like, look, Clive Davis was really close with Whitney. I can't believe he would continue to party. And Piers, being the shill he is, was like, oh, no, I just talked to Clive and it was a tribute. And Shaka, you could tell Shaka Khan was like, uh-huh. And Jaguar Wright, she said that Whitney was actually beat up. There were marks on her body. So it wasn't like she just drowned in the tub from drug overdose. It was an assault. And the reason I'm bringing that up is because, you know, the Chaka Khan connection to Diddy there with the daughter publicly talking about how Diddy was so awful. And Suge Knight, he has a podcast called Collect Call. He had heard that Clive Davis and Diddy were actually lovers, which might make sense because Clive Davis is bisexual. And Diddy is apparently, allegedly, from everything everyone's saying, also. And another implication I want to bring up is the idea of the blood sacrifice by these monsters. They cash in. They cash in on these dead artists. Clive Davis cashed in on Whitney Houston dying. Puff cashed in on Notorious B.I.G. dying. Because they, you know, continue to make money off the streams and downloads and purchases and all that stuff. It's a very strange topic, you know what I mean? The whole thing. And of course, Kanye West was saying that too. Remember, he was talking about blood sacrifices in the industry. Also, it's interesting that Terrence Howard, the actor, was on Joe Rogan, and everyone's talking about this interview, right? Because I mentioned him on one of the Diddy shows that we did on the supporter feeds, because he was in a show called Empire. I've never seen it, but he plays a character named Luscious Lion, who is apparently based on Diddy. And I talked about it because back in 2019, Terrence Howard was having this bizarre talk about how he was going to rebuild Saturn with the new laws of gravity and all this stuff, and how he wasn't going to act anymore, and he had found what Pythagoras was looking for. That was 5 years ago. And there's lots of requests. People are saying, oh, you got to listen to this Terrence Howard interview. And in fact, we talked about this. If you listen to the Tinfoil Hat episode 777 that I'm on with Mark Steves, we talk about this pretty good amount. And where I'm at is that I'm 30 minutes into the interview, okay? I had given up already. I will try again. And look, I don't understand what he's saying. I really don't. He's either a genius or a madman, or he's like every other Hollywood celebrity. He's so full of himself that he can't shut up for 5 seconds. He seems like an intelligent guy, though, honestly. But, I mean, I'll be damned if I know anything he's talking about. And that's what I don't like about it. It's like, okay, if you're really this intelligent and you really got some knowledge of the universe that's going to change the world and free energy, I mean, your job now is to explain it for the dummies, because none of us understand this, right? I listened to it and I thought, I can't do 3 hours of this. I'm losing my mind. 30 minutes? And he just rambles. And I'm like, Joe, please stop this maniac. We have to pump the brakes. And he tried a couple times. But I don't know what he's talking about. I mean, the only thing I could offer, because, you know, my background in education, I've got a master's in systems engineering. So I've got a pretty solid background in mathematics and engineering. Not chemical engineering, not biology, not chemistry, not astrophysics, like none of that stuff, which is kind of what he talks about mostly. But he is, from what I understand, he's talking about how the math formulas are wrong because they only compensate for two dimensionals, you know, X and Y on the Cartesian plane. So somehow that doesn't solve all the answers of the universe. And that's not true, because I do have a math minor. I took all the calculuses. And when you get to calculus 3, you take the concepts from two dimensions into three dimensions. So instead of just getting the you know, the integral, which is the finding the area underneath a curve in two dimensions, you find the integral for the area underneath a curve in three dimensions. You add the z coordinate. And I've taken number theory and differentials and linears, and they, when you get high up into math, they do go into other dimensions. So I don't know if he just didn't keep taking math. I don't understand it. I don't know what he's trying to argue. My gut tells me he's a grifter. My gut tells me he is no different than Russell Brand. Like, these guys, they're addicted to fame. They got to be in the, everyone's got to be talking about me, you know? They can't stop. So, but hey, I could be very wrong. I'm too stupid. That's the answer. I'm too stupid, and I'm going to guess 99.9% of people out there are also too stupid to know if he's telling the truth or full of crap. And this is the problem Carl Sagan talked about. He talked about how when our society evolves technologically, it gets to the point where you have to rely on experts to understand any of this stuff. And that's kind of where this one goes. Moving on, King Charles III. We talked about the painting. I think it was on the last episode, right? All the symbolism. Well, my man Jay Dyer, who's going to be with me in Las Vegas, see us both. And Jamie Hanshaw, we're going to be knocking them dead with great lectures and a great time. Oh my goodness, meet and greet. Meet us June 22nd, Las Vegas. Jay Dyer told me that Prince Charles had been publishing books about perennialism. And he told me it was through the publishing company Temenos. So I looked it up. Because perennialism is kind of one of these philosophies that you'll see. It comes from Aldous Huxley, popularized it. It's this idea of this. It's why people say they're spiritual more than they are religious. It's why David Lynch does transcendental meditation to make contact with the unified field. All right? It's the idea that we're all one collective consciousness. It goes into panpsychism. It goes into all these things. It goes into a lot of the occult thinking that, look, God is just this source, and all these religions, they all have it right a little bit, okay? Now, is all that true? I don't know. I could tell you I've had some experiences that showed me that, but, I mean, I was under an influence. I don't know if that makes it right. You know, if you put on my Orthodox Christian hat, I say, no, that's all a lie. God's the only, Christ, the Holy Trinity, is the only source of God. There is no other God, because a lot of the Orthodoxy thinking is that this whole perennialism thing is a way of diluting out the truth. It's like, oh, well, you know, Christians aren't the only ones, right? It's also, these other religions. And these other things, they're all kind of a little bit right, which makes the one fundamental truth not it. So if I go to the publishing company's website, it says, of particular interest to perennialists and traditionalists, the King Charles, is actively interested in traditional thought and its applications to the problems of the modern world. He is the patron of the Temenos Academy, which is dedicated to the central ideas of the perennial philosophy. And then it kind of goes on. But why do we care? Well, I talked about it in Aliens, UFOs, and the Occult, User Illusion 1. And the idea I'm trying to present here is that the elites, they subscribe to this perennial philosophy. That we're all connected. There's not a one Holy Trinity God. It's sort of many gods, one global field of consciousness. Which was the original vision of the internet. We talked about this, I don't remember when. Jacques Vallée wrote a book about called The Heart of the Internet. Because Jacques Vallée, the famous ufologist, was on the team that invented the internet. Yes, it's true. It's kind of crazy, but it's true. Anyways, originally the vision of the internet and the ARPANET was to equalize the playing field and make it so that everyone had access to all the information, right? Information is power. Wisdom is power. And I would argue that's why social media has us devolving into the base frequencies of fighting and arguing and, you know, being overly smutted out. which, you know me, I like some smut. But, I mean, there's a point where you're like, whoa, this isn't my end-all, be-all of my whole life, you know. But anyways, the point is that they want to use this to control us, I think. And it's talking about plugging us into the great overmind. And you see this in concepts like Ray Kurzweil's singularity, Elon Musk's Neuralink, monism is the idea that we're all one, digital matrix ideas. They all come from these occult sources of this, you know, simulation theory. Jung's collective unconscious and symbolism works with this through the archetypes, quantum physics. Austin Osman Spare had a Kia U universal mind idea. I mean, it just goes on and on, right? It's kind of the recurring theme. Sorry, we're having a rough morning over here at the Wise Hop Studios. I'm having a hard time. Lieutenant Colonel Bearden wrote a paper called Excalibur Briefing. And he described psychotronic weapons, and he said that by psychotronics, the minds of all men can be linked into a great supermind, having absolute psychokinetic mastery over time and space. Just think of the possibilities telepathy provides in the area of communications. Direct mind-to-mind link-ups could eliminate security problems and provide direct access anywhere without equipment dependencies. And that's how they sell us. They say, they're like, oh, we'll get rid of all the wars and all the fighting, all the security issues, all the all the boogeymen we've been constantly warning you about and scaring you with. We'll get rid of that. Just plug into the matrix. And oh, by the way, the name of the Elon Musk Neuralink company is Telepathy, right? All occult, the CDs, they call it, the CDs, the superpowers of the occult. But yeah, let's, you know, on June 22nd, I'm just going to talk to Jay Dyer about it in Las Vegas. I'm going to say, what's up with the perennial philosophy, buddy? We can meet and greet with him and ask him. Finally, Zuckerberg. He's got a new look. That's right. He's got the skinny gold chain. He's got this, you know, the skinny, color me bad beard. He's gone full Black Lodge, this old Zuckerberg. And Black Lodge Zuckerberg had a 40th birthday party, and at this party he wore a shirt that says Carthago Delenda Est, which is Latin for Carthage must be destroyed. Now, I'm not smart enough to know the history here, but I went to a website. This one's called newarab.com. It says the phrase Carthago Delenda Est dates back to a rhetorical Latin statement made by the politician Cato the Elder during a debate in the Roman Senate before the Third Punic War between Rome and Carthage. Carthago Delenda Est translates literally to Carthage must be destroyed. Carthage, a city in present-day Tunisia, was a rival civilization to Rome back in the day. Cato was famous for ending all his speeches with those words. It was his obsession to destroy Carthage, not just beat it like it had in two previous wars, annihilated. The phrase is memorable partly because it uses a unique piece of grammar called the gerundive, which doesn't exist in English. The phrase conveys that something ought to happen to the thing in question. In this case, Carthage has got to go down. It's not an opinion or an idea. Going down is in Carthage's very nature. Interesting. Along with being a throwback to Roman history, it's very on theme with Zuckerberg's throwback party. Zuckerberg, who studied Latin in university, gave his kids Latinite names. And I looked this up for you guys because I was like, what? The kids' names are August, Aurelia, and Maxima. Who would have thought? Anyway, here's where it gets interesting. Zuckerberg, who studied Latin in university, gave his kids Latin names, is rumored to have made Carthago Delenda Est a rallying cry within Facebook when it had its own version of Cato's Carthage, Google. In 2011, Google launched its Google Plus social network, and Zuckerberg worried it might threaten Facebook's dominance. I remember the Google Plus days. I had a Google Plus account. They're always building stuff and then bailing on it over there at Google, aren't they? His response was a lockdown culture in which Facebook staff faced challenges to defeat its rising foe. One of the rooms at Zuckerberg's party referred to the lockdown phase. While Zuckerberg's shirt was most likely a jab at Google, Tunisians took it personally. The inventor of Facebook, which is the most dangerous invention in human history, is, and this is the website saying it, I'm not even going to say the word. How do you say this word? Zionist? He's saying that that's what Zuckerberg is and knows very well that everyone is following him. Therefore, and this is the website speaking, in my opinion, it is necessary to respond to him clearly, firmly, and quickly, wrote Tunisian journalist Hisham Al-Haji. Well, that was a can of worms we didn't know we were going to open up, did we? But it goes on to say that one theory of why this is possible is that Carthage is actually a metaphor for Gaza. So the question is Black Lodge Zuckerberg a, oh, there's this word again, Zionius? he's definitely Jewish, and Meta is definitely concerned about speech about this topic. If you go to accessnow.org, what is Meta's current policy on the use of the term Zionized? Under its hate speech policy, Meta removes direct attacks against people on the basis of protected characteristics such as race, ethnicity, nationality, and religion. Political ideologies are not considered a protected characteristic. However, Meta's current policy removes the word Zionist when used explicitly as a proxy for Jews or Israelis in a dehumanizing or violent way. Because that term, you don't have to be Jewish to be one of those people. That's the big controversy. That's the big conspiracy, right? So what's interesting, and we'll come back to that. Well, will we come back to that? Yeah, we'll come back to that. What's interesting here is that Carthage, when I hear that, I think of the chief pagan god there was none other than Baal, you know, a.k.a. Moloch. And there's a book by John Levinson called The Death and Resurrection of the Beloved Son. And he talks about child sacrifice in these ancient cultures, such as Carthage. Carthage was the greatest city in the Canaanite culture. And from his book, it says, the remains of Carthage amply demonstrate the importance of child sacrifice to its religion and culture, and thus indirectly speak to the same institution on the Canaanite motherland. The archaeologists have excavated an area in Carthage that is so full of urns containing the charred remains of children that they term it the Carthaginian Tophet. Later on, it says, as many as 20,000 urns may have been deposited there between 400 and 200 BC, averaging out to 100 urns deposited per year, or slightly fewer than one every 3 days. Now, some people say, oh, child sacrifice isn't real, it's all fake news, and those were kids that died of natural causes. But there are these archaeologists, Stager and Wolf, who claim otherwise, and they say that, look, you're going to find in those urns, there's two kids from the same family at different ages in the same urn for animal bones. So was it also a pet cemetery? You know, like with the argument being like these, I don't know, the two kids from the same family couldn't die together of the same disease at the same time. I don't know. Again, it gets pretty smart pretty quick. But the idea here is that people were sacrificing children to Baal in Carthage. The Canaanites, they were doing it for crops and rain and all that stuff, which is what I talked about in Sacrifice Magic Behind the Mic with the idea of like Eminem's Rain Man, you know, he had this alter ego demonic spirit called Rain Man, which I think he's going through another ritual. Isn't he releasing a new album, The Death of Slim Shady, you know, trying to do a little death and rebirth to rejuvenate the career? I don't know. That's interesting. I was a big fan, super fan of Eminem. The first two albums, man, he had a perfect balance there, because the first album, he was witty and funny and edgy, you know? And by the third album, the witty part, the funny part, I'm having a hell of a day here, folks. The funny part, he got like kind of silly and went a little too Weird Al Yankovic. And then he swung it back the other way, and then he got real mean and angry and aggressive. And I didn't identify with either of those. I liked the sort of edgy, witty, cutting people down in the first album. That was a classic, Slim Shady. Oh my gosh. Changed the whole thing. Anyway, so here's what's interesting. If Zuckerberg is saying that Carthage must be destroyed, then if he's talking about the sacrifice god of Baal, then that's a good thing, right? If he's saying no more child sacrifice to Baal, symbolically. But if it's a subtle reference to destroying Gaza, as some people theorize, then maybe it actually means something a little different. And, you know, it's a very touchy subject. And when I'm going to wrap this show up, I'm going to leave you with a link in the show notes for, if you haven't heard it yet, last year I did Apocalypse, End Times, and the Occult Part 1 about the war in Israel, rebuilding Solomon's Temple. This was all in October of 2023, if you scroll back on the feed. I did a two-parter on that, and it kind of explains everything of what's going on, all right? From the occult perspective, from the perspective of understanding who these people are trying to do these things, about how it's all sort of occult antichrist stuff. And it's a whole thing, right? So I'm going to go before my voice completely collapses. I got to keep working on this Eyes Wide Shut presentation. I can't believe I'm not done yet. I'm panicking, folks. I got to finish it. Then I got to practice it so I can impress you guys with my my information. But thank you for listening to the show. Thank you for supporting the show. Look, if you like the show, leave a 5-star review on whatever app you're listening to it. And make sure you're subscribed to the show. If you love the show, support it. Go sign up at the supporter feeds, whichever one you like. Patreon.com/IlluminatiWatcher is the most popular. Apple Podcast Premium is absolutely the easiest. If you want to jump through a couple hoops and get a little voice message from me and a little tech support from your boy, you can go to IlluminatiWatcher.com and hit the VIP tab and check out the VIP section. Save yourself a few bucks. Okay? And also, be sure to check out the link in the show notes. If you're gonna be able to make it to Las Vegas June 22nd, make sure I'm on your itinerary, okay? Link in the show notes for the Eventbrite.com tickets. Till next time, stay positive.